Man, what a sweet time it's going to be when we get there on the other side. And it's not going to be long, thank the Lord. And we'll be singing songs I believe we've never heard of before, and some we have heard of because it helped us and blessed us in this particular life. And one thing is for sure, we're glad that God is still doing what he started out doing. Even when he made creation Adam and fail, he's still doing what he started out doing. And when Christ came and gave the institution of baptism, I said last Wednesday night, I think it was, we was talking about along this line where the gospel was being preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized. And also they said in Jesus' name. And therefore we have a movement nowadays that say you can only baptize in Jesus' name to be correct. Well, there's nothing wrong in baptizing in Jesus' name, but Jesus said baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I have to understand, if Jesus said that, that's important. And when you get into the book of Acts and see where you get through the transition period after between the old covenant and the new covenant, you find that you don't see so much about baptizing in Jesus' name, but you do know that baptism is important because it's the orders that Jesus instigated before he left here to go back to glory. And one of the factors that's involved, I believe, I said Wednesday night, you go back and look in the Old Testament up to the time that John the Baptist came, there was no such a thing as baptism. You can't find that. You can find where there was anointing. You can find that where God used oil and had the prophets and different ones that used oil. Sometimes blood was put in different places for a type of anointing. But when John the Baptist came on the scene, he preached repent and be baptized. Now, wonder why. When Jesus came along, that in his ministry in Matthew 28, we'll be turning there, and you see in verse 18, 19, and 20, he said, "The baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so what is the reason for John to baptize, to cry of baptism? Because I believe, if you study the scriptures and realize that baptism is not essential to salvation, even though there's some who say that it is. If you look at what Jesus had to say, how we to baptize, and then ask why, and of course, when Jesus tells us to do something, there's no need to ask why. We do it because he said do it. That's just the way it is when it comes to faith. But at the same time, when you see John preaching baptism, baptism was a signal, was an implemented thing to make people understand that they had broken from the old covenant. Up to that time, there was many that looked for the Messiah to come. They believed he was coming, but they failed to see him when he did come. That's to the nation of Israel. And so God told John to start preaching, repent and be baptized, and therefore that was a signal that they broke from the old covenant and looking for the kingdom to come that would be preached, the kingdom of heaven. And I think it was a signal that God gave to show the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant coming. When John the Baptist went off the scene, we see that Jesus, before he left the scene, told us again in Matthew chapter 28 and verse down to about verse 18, 19, and 20. And before we get there, let's pray. Father, we pray tonight that you give us wisdom to understand your word, to understand as to why things happen and why we should obey you. The Lord, it's very important, I believe, because this certainly is an ordinance that God tells us to do, which shows our obedience to you. Lord, if we really trusted Christ as our personal Savior, then we want to follow the Lord in baptism, because that was one of the first things he said for us to do. Bless us tonight together as we look at this theme. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I believe when Peter began to preach about, you see, first of all, the Jews did not believe that this man, Jesus Christ, was the Messiah. They did not believe he was the sent one. There were some in the ranks when he preached began to believe, but their leaders had such a stronghold over them that a lot of those people were afraid of their leaders more so than they were than Jesus Christ. And so this was another means to realize that if a person had trusted Christ and was going to follow him, baptism was a means to show they had broken from the old covenant, just like it did in John's day. And in that transition period, there was being repent and be baptized. We also know, though, that the Bible teaches us that in the age of grace, It's if you repent like you should, you're going to receive Christ like you should, because there is no repentance outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So we have to understand that God helps us in the dispensation to put these things together to see what he's doing. So it clears up in my mind as I leave the Old Testament, going into the transition period to go into the New Covenant, it clears up in my mind that God set forth an ordinance to be done which would show a break. If they believed John the Baptist's message, they did not believe what was being told by the other leaders of Israel and the Sanhedrin court of that time. They showed that by following the Lord in baptism that broke them from the tradition from the Old Covenant. And then when Jesus came along, he preached also the kingdom of heaven's at hand. He was the king presented to the nation of Israel. And so when he came along, he preached that when you receive Christ, you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what he said in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, if all power is given unto him, and of course we know he was God in the flesh, then what he says is law. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, other places said preach, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So when Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and preached, repent, be baptized, he was preaching Jesus Christ. You read the sermon. His whole sermon had to do with Jesus Christ. And he was saying to those Jews, he's the Messiah that should have come, which you have by your hands crucified him. Therefore, repent and be baptized. The fact that you say, hey, Jews knew what it was to repent because they did it every time they brought a sacrifice. They knew in the Old Testament it was repentance was a thing. You didn't just go up and give a sacrifice and not repent. You didn't take your lamb or your pigeon or whatever it was that you took to the priest and had him slay it on the altar unless there was repentance, because you just didn't give a lamb to take the place and not repent. And so here again, it makes sense to me to understand Scripture, not be confused in what God is saying now than what he said back in Peter's day and in John the Baptist's day, and certainly the fact that he said repent and be baptized was the fact that any Jew, and by the way, the message was first to the Jew. That's what Romans tells us. 1:16. The gospel was first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The day that Peter stood and preached on the day of Pentecost was to the Jews. He even go back and read the message in chapter Acts, and you find he's talking to the Jews. You have by your wicked hand crucified him. And now repentance is the thing that needs to be done. It can't be done without Christ. And secondly, baptism is needed because that shows that you break the tradition that you are not under the Levitical system. That shows you've accepted him as the Messiah. That shows you accepted him as the anointed one. That one act showed that. And when a person was baptized, I believe a lot of times they were more concerned, those who would not believe in Christ, over the baptism than was in trusting Christ. Because an outward seeing to manifest to those around and even to the world. They believe the record that God gave with his son. They believe what Peter. They asked the question when they were pricked in their hearts in Acts chapter 2. What is it we need to do? And this is what he said, repent and be baptized. And so we follow the Lord's commandment and what he said to do. And even someone may say in Jesus' name, fine. I just know this. Without Jesus Christ, there'd be no baptism and there'd be no repentance. Because let's face it, God's plan was everything before Jesus came was to show us that the Messiah was coming for Israel, the Savior was coming for the world, and therefore he would fulfill everything that God had commanded him to do even back in Adam's day of giving sacrifices. Even in the Leviticus system, in Moses' day, giving sacrifices, Jesus was the supreme sacrifice. He was the Passover lamb for the whole world and certainly for Jew and Gentile in the age of grace. So tonight, as we come to this time of baptism, we're doing what the Scripture said for us to do. Preach the gospel. God saves people by the drawing of the Holy Spirit to the Lamb of God. When people's eyes and hearts have opened and they trust Christ as their personal Savior, then they're baptized, and the baptism is no more, as we've said many times here, for us all to understand, is symbolic of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is simply saying, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and this is what I believe he has done for me. He died for me. He was buried for me as you go under the water and cover completely, and you come out of the water like the resurrection of life. It's a symbolic message that people see in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this thing of baptism has been mixed up so much down through the years, and yet people say they have Bible for certain things. But you know, the Bible is fairly clear, I think. For instance, we have people nowadays who baptize infants. They say we baptize them into the church. and they baptize a little baby. Now, there's nothing wrong to dedicate children. We do that here. We anoint them with oil, and I think that's certainly right. But when it comes to baptism, what are you baptizing them for? A little child doesn't know how to repent. A little child don't know how to ask the Lord Jesus into their heart. And now the blood of Christ can protect that child till he comes of age. No doubt about that. But when he comes of age, he has a responsibility to trust the Lord Jesus. And it's the responsibility of the church to get the gospel to them. Baptism does not precede belief. You hear what I'm saying? You don't find that in the scriptures. You find he repent and be baptized. Repent is a belief of confessing one's sin before God. So baptism does not precede belief. So this rules out the baptism of babies because babies cannot believe. So what you do, what you understand is trust God. That since the sin of Adam, the nature of Adam, has thrown the human race into this mess we're in, that when a child is born, then that child in an innocent stage has no knowledge of what is right and wrong, and the blood of Christ will protect that child, I believe with all my heart. And David proved that when his child died, and even though it's because of sin in his life, he said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. And he shows in his heart he believes it was with the Lord. So that satisfied me of taking place for a child. Now, when does a child get old enough? I don't know. I'll tell you this, not 12 years old. I mean, anybody can read and write and rip a tick and all of that. They've got to be able to understand. If you don't understand that, you've got to understand, hey, the plan of salvation is a lot simpler than math. It's a lot simpler than things we study in school. So baptism, or be baptized or unbaptized, if you're not saved, you're just lost. Somebody said, well, I was baptized. Is that right? Yeah, what did you say? Well, that had nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it does. See, it isn't baptism and then get saved. It's be repent and be saved to be baptized. It's a simple. You've heard me say it before. You know, a man can say, your man can buy, hey, did you know you go down to the jewelry store and buy a wedding ring and put it on? And it may say because you got a wedding band on that you're married. No, it just looks like you're married. You're not married until you give your vows to each other. And so it would be a false. So what you want to do, you don't put the wedding ring on without being falsifying something until you say your marriage vows. And so you're not baptized until you trust Christ as Savior. It works the same way. And so how do you preach the gospel to those baptized as an infant without a choice? How can you? You know, the Bible says preach the gospel to all men. Go in the world and carry this gospel. How can you preach the gospel to someone if they're already in the family of God, if baptism put them in there before they come of age? No, we need to realize that God knows what he's doing. In baptism, one says to the baptizer who baptized, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. I believe that in his resurrection, when Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart God raised from the dead, one has said, I believe that record that God has given of his Son. To the church, one says when he's baptized, I unite with you in the truth of Christianity. What I understand Christianity is, following after the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who are present here tonight, they said, I don't care what you may do as far as your life is concerned, but for my life, I want to strive to please and serve the Lord. So to the one being baptized, he just simply said, I believe the record that God gave of his Son. To the church, he said, that I unite with you in believing the true meaning of Christianity. And then for those who are present, I want you to know, with God's help, I desire to serve the Lord. Now, when you think about this, to one who is baptized, it's a testimony of their faith. It's something to say. If someone says, well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Oh, have you? Have you ever been baptized? Well, no. Well, you know, if you've ever been baptized, you did what the Lord said you ought to do to be saved. Don't you think you ought to do what he said to be when he said to be baptized? Well, I don't think that has anything to do with it. Well, if a person can't see that it's God who tells us that we need to be saved, and it's also God in the flesh who tells us that we need to be baptized. Not for salvation, but for a clear conscience towards God. And that's what we see in Peter's writing as it is. So again, to one who is baptized, a testimony of his faith. He becomes a type, he becomes a sign, he becomes a symbol, he becomes a mirror to this world as you look at that person and not ashamed of his faith or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, man's reason as he looks at baptism, and he says, well, there's nothing to it then. If it has no power, what, there's nothing to it. I mean, it cannot do me any good. Why should I be baptized? Well, it cannot do you any harm. Why not be baptized? And by the way, it does do you good. You may not see it physically, but spiritually it does you good, because God says it's a clear conscience towards God that you're manifesting what the Lord said do. And whether you understand all you need to know about it, I understand why I gave you that ordinance, and therefore it ought to be kept. And one of the first things we do after naming Christ as our Savior is to be baptized. Now again, man's faith says, but wait a minute, you might say that as far as the reason of man is concerned, there's nothing to it. It can't do me any good. Why should I do it? Why should I worry about it? But man's faith says, true, but my Lord said do it, and one of my first actions after being saved is to obey him in being baptized. True, it may not have anything as far as I'm concerned other than obedience to the Lord. Isn't it an amazing thing? There's a lot of things this Bible says about obedience. Isn't one of the amazing things is that the most simple thing possible first to do is to be baptized. And it seems like God is saying, if you step in that direction, then you're going to be listening to me as you go forward progressively in the things of God. At least have the opportunity to do so and manifest who you are and what you've done it for. Now, if it did me some good, let's say, if being baptized did me some good and give me a clear conscience towards God, if it would do me some good, then probably my selfishness, and probably if it do you some good, your selfishness would make you do it. And when you did, and selfishness got in to do it, it would ruin what God is trying to teach us to do. Because since God commanded it, it is a law unto me. It isn't whether I want to, feel like it, or should do it, or not should do it. It is that's a law to me that I should do it because the Savior who saved me said do so. It's just simple understanding of what the Lord has to say about this event in our lives. To do what he says is my test of obedience to the Lord. If I tell you that I'm saved, and words don't mean a lot in these days, listen. Just listen to what people say. Don't mean a lot. But if I tell you what I have done, in what I have trusted, and you see that in my life by obedience to one who I'm trusting in, it gives you a little bit more assurance that maybe this fellow is more on the right track than someone who says, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe you got to get saved. I don't believe Jesus Christ is the answer, and I don't believe baptism has anything to do with it, and so forth. Some of that, like baptism, may not have anything to do with it as far as salvation, but it has a lot to do with obedience. And God is telling us this is what we should be doing. So I must never take the place that my faith should occupy. I can never take that place. In other words, when God said, do something, it's no use for me to ask God what for. If God said it, that should settle it. The fact is, Lord, you said do it. Therefore, why should I ask what for? Because if he didn't try to tell me now what for, I probably couldn't understand to start with. But I understand obedience. Don't you? I mean, a man likes a dog obeying, don't he? Don't he? I mean, he's got a hunting dog in here. But how many, anybody that's got a hunting dog? Well, Red Tyler knows what I'm talking about. You get a dog, take him out, try to hunt him, and he don't hunt much. You don't, he ain't much of a dog. But boy, I tell you, there's a blessing when you get in here and run. Somebody said it hit him. You used to go hear people talking about going coon hunting. And I was telling Fed one time, I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I do sit and listen to a bunch of dogs. Ooh, ooh, ooh. He said, that's the beautiful sound in the world when they get a coon going. And you know, that's the way it is. When those dogs do what they're supposed to do, that's a beautiful sound. And it's pleasant to the owner. Well, we got a mentality that we can read what God says to do. Why don't we obey him? Don't you know it pleases his heart? I think one of the greatest pleasure God has is for his children. If any way we can give him pleasure, it's just simply obey him and ask him, help us do what we can do. This takes the place. I never take the law that my faith should occur. Never take the place that my faith should occur and ask what for. This takes its place as a proper ordinance in God's house. And it's a proper ordinance for people to see an outward manifestation of what they said is taking place in their heart. So baptism tonight is only a symbol, nothing more. But in the practice of this, the dramatization is that a person says, I have been died in the Lord, and say this is water and this is the person, I have died in Christ who died for me, and I have been planted with him like unto his death and covered with the water, and then rise from the water in the likeness of his resurrection. And every time I think of that, I think of this. Isn't it an amazing thing, the close that I would ever come to being a part of what God has done for me, is to demonstrate to this world that I believe he died for me, that he was buried, according to 1 Corinthians 15, and he rose again the third day. And this tonight's picture in that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a drama before the world. And saying to you, don't only listen to my words, but the fact that my God has told me to be baptized is the reason I'm doing it. And then that gives me the credential to go further as far as the Lord's Supper, and which is the only two orders God gave to the church, and then to be the vessel for God to use to try to reach this world for Jesus Christ. Now, I thank God we've had a lot of people saved this year, but a lot of them are bus kids, teenagers, and youth. We do not baptize these kids unless the parents sign the note that they let them be baptized. We probably have had 60 children or more this year from teenagers down that have been saved that the parents will not let be baptized. But I want to say to you, I'm so glad that a child who comes here and visits us, or a teenager, or a young person, a young adult, that comes here and visits us, and they hear the gospel, and they trust Christ as their Savior, I'm so glad that there's no one can interfere with that once they trust Christ as their Savior. Now, parents have a right to say no. We write them a beautiful letter. We ask them, we're here, come with them. They've made a profession of faith. Let them be baptized. And I appreciate parents who say, you know, I thank God that my daughter or son has found the Lord, as they put it sometimes. And I want to see them baptized. That's simply saying, I want for my child the best. And if they made a decision for Christ, then the next order is to be baptized. I want them to be baptized. But I'm glad to know in my heart, and I've had calls before, people call me afterwards and talk about their children getting saved, and the kid and parents didn't want them to be baptized. They want to sign the paper and things like that. And I think to myself then, Lord, wouldn't it be a tragical thing? Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Wouldn't it be a tragical thing if God had set up a system wherein too that baptism was essential to salvation, and a parent would not let their child be baptized, and they end up in hell because of that? Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm glad that if you trust Christ as your Savior, you want to be baptized, but if you're hindered and can't be baptized, thank God you're still going to heaven. Amen. See what I'm saying, folks? You know, don't you think that God knew there'd be times that wouldn't happen? By the way, parents have a right over their children. We recognize that here. And we respond to that. We tell kids who come here that their mother and daddy loves them. We try our best to show that love here and how much God loves them also. But I want you also to know that it'd be a shame if a person, a child, would hear the gospel and want to trust Christ as their Savior and then suddenly could not be saved because they could not be baptized. God knew what he was talking about. Baptism is an ordinance. It is a sign. It's a symbol, but it's not essential. And I proved that on the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, when he was dying in his dying hour, quit raving on Christ and then turned to him and said, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and said, today thou shalt be me in paradise. He was not baptized.